Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It certainly is. And in the studio this morning, we have got Dr. Tim Welch from the University of Auckland. He's a senior lecturer in architecture and town planning. Kia ora, Tim. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming in this morning. Now, you're quite new to the University of Auckland. How did you end up in Aotearoa?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I've actually been teaching here for a little over a year, but before we made our big move down to New Zealand, of course, COVID hit a little more than a year ago. So all of our travel plans were canceled. And luckily, with technology, I was able to teach remotely for almost a whole year. And then finally, we made it down here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that your students will be pleased as well to have you in the classroom. And it's great that we are able to be doing that at the moment in Tamaki Makaurau. Tell us a little bit about your background in urban planning and what is urban planning from a really basic level? How does that kind of interact with people's daily lives?
Sure. Well, let me start with how I got into urban planning, which is kind of funny. I think it's the way a lot of people get into it, which is by accident.
Yeah.
or experiencing the built environment.
Mm.
And so I was actually studying law, so something completely different than what I do now, in Detroit in the U.S. And I was living in the city, and the week after I moved there, the only grocery store in the entire city, this is in U.S. Measured 152 square miles, so
wow.
A massive city. The only grocery store shuts down a week later.
Crikey.
And if you don't have a car and you want to get to the grocery store, you have to take that to what we have there. It's county line. So go out to basically the edge of the city, get off that bus, pay for another bus, another fare, drive out, ride out to a grocery store, and then make that whole reverse trip. And that's fine if you have, you know, yourself, but if you're towing kids with you or need more than just a few groceries, the burden is enormous. And so experiencing that, I realized that just small decisions in the urban space, our dependence on cars, our inability to get places, on transportation in a meaningful way, has a huge impact on everybody's lives. And so that pushed me away from law, in a sense, into urban planning. And so I went on to get a PhD and then fall in love with it so much that I wanted to teach it and research it for a living.
So you do have a specific focus kind of on that transport infrastructure a little bit. How does that sort of apply to what you're doing here in New Zealand? Because we have, I mean, in Auckland, a quite embattled transport system.
Yeah.
What are you looking at in this context here or with your students?
Yeah, and that embattlement is actually, I think it's a good thing. It means people aren't engaged and thinking about the transportation system. The last thing you want is people who are just apathetic and go with whatever is happening on the ground. But the things that I study are things like the distribution of access to public transportation. So how well can people access that public transportation system? How well distributed are those amenities? So do we have bus shelters? Do we have signs that tell people how to get to places? Are the bus shelters lighted? And that can affect people's perception of whether they think the public transportation system is good and worthwhile or whether they should get in a car. We also look at things like how our travel behavior affects the climate. And that's obviously a really hot topic as of late. So our decision to drive versus take the bus or walk or take a bike, how do those things impact the climate, and how does our public our policy around these things affect that broader climate impact? And so in Auckland, we definitely have a lot of issues in terms of whether, you know, public transportation is accessible to people and a good alternative, the expense of public transportation being the third most expensive fare in the world for public transport. And then again, whether we have good access to alternative modes than just driving our cars.
And you've spoken a little bit in the media recently about cycling, and that has been a very hot button topic in the news in Auckland in particular. We've seen conversations around the potential to get some sort of cycle route across the Harbour Bridge. There's also ongoing cycle paths being created or discussed around the city. What's your take on the whole cycling debate that's happening at the moment? Because it gets quite heated from both ends, really.
Yeah, I mean, what I was writing about is really the idea that we commonly think of a cyclist or someone on a bike as someone in Lycra or spandex, right? And they're specialized and they're in for it for the racing.
Yeah.
But there's actually the majority of people that are on a bike are there because they're trying to complete something during the day. They're trying to get to work. They're trying to get shopping done. They're picking up kids. So they're just average everyday people. They're not elitists in some way. And so changing that perception, I think, will help us realize where we should be planning for. I mean, the people that need cycle tracks because they seem safe. The average cyclist who's, you know, a mom picking up their kids or a dad picking up their kids from school isn't going to get on a highway and bike down that. It's just not perceived as safe. So that knowing who is on a cycle helps us determine where we should plan for these things. And then the Harbor Crossing, that's a whole other issue.
That's a big one. Yeah, that is a big one. I'm also interested in the research you've done into ride shares and taxi services, because that is another thing that in a city like Auckland, it's becoming quite a prolific way that people use to get around the town when there are not necessarily easy public transport routes between certain centres. What kind of stuff have you been looking at in the ride share realm?
Yeah, I mean, we look at crazy things like when there's public availability of public transportation at both ends of a trip. So you get on, you can get on a bus or really a train within, you know, a pretty short walk and then get to your destination within a pretty short walk. The number of people that actually choose to take a ride share instead and pay for that trip, an even more expensive trip and a more emissions heavy trip. We look at, you know, what's causing that. What is it about the system or perception of public transportation or anything else that may hinder people from making the more sustainable choice in a way? We also look at kind of the difference between who drives a ride share versus who rides in a ride share. And that, there's a pretty significant difference. We find that people who drive ride share for a living typically are from lower income neighborhoods, and wealthier people from wealthier neighborhoods obviously are the ones that are consuming these trips. And so that can have some big equity impacts on our transportation system and the way the burdens of the transportation system impact one group over another.
So for students who are interested in kind of getting into urban planning or thinking about these ideas of infrastructure and particularly public transport, what kind of stuff would you sort of encourage them to be thinking about or looking at when they're just kind of going around their lives? Because as you say, it's one of those things you sort of fall into maybe more than know is necessarily a career path you want to embark on.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people realize is that we use the transportation system a lot more than we realize. In class, I teach students that transportation is derived demand. And what that means essentially is that we don't usually use transportation for the sake of transportation, just to get on a bus or drive. We do it to use it to do something else.
Yeah.
And so if you start to think about your trips daily and how much you use that system, you realize how big an impact on where you live, on where things are placed, and again, the environment that that our daily movement really has.
It sounds like one of those sort of topics that once you scratch the surface, you could really dive into this for your whole life, your whole career, really. Dr. Tim Welch, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us about it this morning. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
All right.